Hello, and welcome to the Three Links Oddcast, your podcast for all things having to do with Odd Fellowship. And now, here are your hosts. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Three Links Oddcast. I'm Toby Hansen, one of your hosts.
And I'm Sergio Paredes.
And we have a very special guest host joining us for this episode. Right now, Brother Ainsley is on assignment. He is doing a big mural project for the Douglas County Museum. So joining us is a very special guest and good friend of the show, Brother Christopher McHale, coming to us all the way from Missoula, Montana. Welcome, Brother Chris.
Hello, it's a pleasure to be here.
So for the listeners not familiar with you, which probably all of them, except for the two downloads we have in Corvallis, Montana, tell the listeners
a little bit about yourself. Me either. So in a very roundabout way, I mean, yeah, I live in Missoula, Montana at the moment. I've been here since October of 2015. I've been an Odd Fellow since June of 2016. I'm from Long Island, New York, originally, but I've been gone for so long, it's nowhere feels like home at this point. By trade, I'm a wildlife biologist that works with venomous snakes, which I know sounds extremely cool. At the moment, I am an orthopedic and neurosurgical assistant for a veterinary surgeon in Montana.
Awesome. Well, I'm sure you've probably got some great stories to share. Maybe we'll get to hear something like that in the Odd Podge.
That is entirely possible.
So for you listeners who are sitting there thinking, oh, is this it? Is this the cemetery episode? Psych! You gotta wait. The cemetery episode is actually coming up. That should be the next one.
People are just dying to hear it.
Yeah, I know. To accommodate the schedule for our guests, we had to put off recording another week. But in the meantime, we didn't want to leave all of you folks hanging out there with nothing better to listen to. So we're going to do a little mini episode of the Three Links Oddcast here. And we're going to talk about some of the correspondence that we've gotten so far. We are 8 episodes in. This is episode number 9 of the Oddcast. And so this gives us a chance to kind of step back and reflect on some of the effect that we're starting to have. Because I have to say, from my standpoint, it is really amazing to see a couple of things. Number one, the amazing amount of passion that there is for Odd Fellowship there. And the other thing that's really amazing is how spread out it is around the world. We're getting downloads in Africa, all around Europe. We've got some downloads, obviously, in the Philippines, because the Philippines, Odd Fellowship is really strong and just really growing there. Downloads in Australia, and of course, North America. By the way, for any listeners in Lake Stevens, Washington, I don't know what it is. I think it's somebody with a virtual private network. But we have like almost 40 downloads from an IP address in Lake Stevens. So if there are a whole bunch of listeners actually in Lake Stevens, hello neighbors, it's nice to have you listening. But if it's just a virtual IP or a virtual private network or something like that, then hey listeners all over the place that we think are in Lake Stevens, it's a nice community. You should check it out sometime. They have an aqua fest in the summer. It's very nice. So, Brother Sergio, what kind of correspondence have we had coming in here to the Oddcast?
We have quite a mix. I'm getting emails. I'm getting some on Reddit. We got some on Instagram, some on Facebook. And they pretty much cover anything and everything as far as just my, what do I get? What they're asking me, what do I get out of being an Odd Fellow? Mm-hmm. Others are just asking if I know a contact because they tried somebody and they weren't able to get a hold of anybody. Others are just trying to get a little bit more information, trying to see, get a little bit more history. So it's a little bit all over the place. But we also have new members who just joined not too long ago, but their lodges might not be too active. So they're just online trying to see what's out there. So it's a little mixture of everything, but it's coming from all over the U.S. from East Coast, West Coast, Midwest, and pretty much everywhere in between.
That's great. Well, let's take a look at some of those individually. First of all, you mentioned Reddit. For listeners not familiar with Reddit, it's kind of like the world's biggest collection of discussion groups. There are various subreddits, which are the individual discussion groups for pretty much every topic you can imagine. And there are actually a couple of subreddits for Oddfellows. There's one that's pretty much dead called Oddfellows. And then there's the more active one that's got 300 subscribers, and that's IOOF. So if you go to Reddit, you search IOOF, it'll bring up the IOOF group, and that's where most of the activity is. And then, Sergio, you actually started your own subreddit for Oddfellows in Southern California.
Correct. And that one, I believe, is SoCal Oddfellows, if I'm not mistaken. It's been a while since I actually got any good back and forth on that channel, but I did create that one for Southern California. But every now and then, people do stumble upon it.
So what kind of interactions have you had on Reddit? Because I'll give you an example. I had somebody contact me through one of the direct messages on Reddit, and he said, I'm in Tampa, Florida, and I want to find a lodge. I'm interested in joining. I want to find out about it. Who do I get a hold of? So I don't personally know any Oddfellows in Florida except Danilo Lopez, who's actually the Grand Representative of the Grand Lodge of Cuba. And he splits his time between Florida and Cuba. So oh, wow. What I did is I said, well, on the Sovereign Grand Lodge website, you go to IOF.org or odd-fellows.com, I think it is. You look up the jurisdictions, there will be Florida. You find the email for the Grand Secretary of Florida. So I actually looked that up for him, sent it to him. And then I did a little bit more searching online, and I found there's a lodge maybe 20 to 30 miles from Tampa that I was able to find a contact person for. And so I forwarded that information as well. So it brings up a good point, and I know Ainsley would probably agree with it. Lodges, grand lodges, make sure people can find you. One of the toughest things is that there is actually interest in Odd Fellowship. People do want to join. But it can be hard to figure out how to do that. Now, for us on the inside, we know how everything works. People on the outside don't know that. Make sure that there is a listing somewhere on the internet for either the Grand Secretary of your Grand Lodge or for the Secretary of your local lodge. Now, Christopher, you had a little bit of a challenge finding the lodge there in Missoula, didn't you?
Sure, yeah. I have definitely heard that a lot of people have had the same thing where they'll, you know, reach out and, you know, the person that maybe is in charge of getting a hold of people might be 80 years old and might not have ever looked at an email before or something like that, you know? And then a lot of times things like, you know, if you send a letter into somewhere, it might just get lost with the vote for this person leaflets that we're all getting in the mail, and might get forgotten about. So, yeah, it could be really difficult if there isn't like, you know, a website or, an answering machine to leave a message on, or it is like you have to solve a few riddles to figure out how to talk to someone that's actually an Oddfellow sometimes, you know.
And we shouldn't be putting up any additional barriers to entry. We should have a streamlined process from the front end where it's very obvious. Like, okay, I am in this town in Iowa. I want to join an Oddfellows Lodge. I will Google Oddfellows Iowa, and it should bring up a website that lists all the lodges and contact info. Ideally, sure. That's how it would work. Some jurisdictions do a really, really good job of that. Some don't. And then persons like ourselves, we end up getting these questions from people randomly on the internet. How can I join the Oddfellows? And then we have to go on a bit of a goose chase to figure out, well, what lodge is close to you? How can you join? Who do you contact? you know, do you stand out in front of the hall at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and see if anyone opens the door? How do you get in?
Yeah, and that's definitely one of the things that I hear a lot about as far as people are trying to get information and either the website's not updated and they're trying to reach a lodge that just recently closed, or they're sending the messages but it's just not being received for whatever reason and there's no backup or anything. It's just a single access of contact, single point of contact.
And one of the things that I have been thinking about too, just since we've been sitting here talking about it, is obviously the COVID thing isn't helping anything. But if you think about it, there might even be situations where someone reached out a year ago to try and get a hold of someone and might have heard nothing for all of this time. And that has to be so off-putting. To people. You know, I mean, if it takes you a year to get around to talking, you know, to responding to me, I mean, how bad do you really want me to join, you know?
Well, I've mentioned it before here on the podcast. It took me 2 years to get in. I applied in 98 and I didn't actually get a call back from the lodge until 2000 because my sponsor, Brother Vern Eck, who has passed on since then, it just took him a couple years to get over to the lodge and drop off my application, which for me, I didn't know what was happening. I got a call 2 years after I'd applied, not having heard anything in the meantime. And all of a sudden, here's the lodge secretary saying, I have this application. It's 2 years old. Do you still want to join? And I said, yeah, I've been waiting 2 years. Let me in.
Yeah, so the way was good enough.
You mentioned people reaching out to you. What are some of the experiences you've had with trying to get people hooked up with local lodges?
Well, one of the last two I'll go over was one in San Diego. He was pretty young. He found out about Oddfellows, wanted to find out. And I guess there was a lodge, I think, in his area, but that had actually closed. So he tried reaching out and he couldn't find anybody. And I ended up having to contact the Grand Secretary of California, get some contact information, and then relay it back to him. And then eventually he ended up getting a hold of somebody. But because I started getting so many of these, I actually had created a Discord server for anybody who has like a pretty consistent messaging with me and they show like they're pretty interested. I usually invite them to Discord. And that way, while they're waiting to hear back from Grand Lodge or waiting to hear back from whichever lodge they emailed, they can at least ask questions in the meantime, just kind of get a feel for it. It's kind of like walking into a virtual lodge and being able to just kind of ask questions like you would during a stated meeting. And I found that has actually helped out a lot. So the person in San Diego joined that server along with some other people that were interested in like Colorado. Mm-hmm. I think there's some from Illinois as well.
Cottage Grove, Oregon. I know he's on there.
Oregon. And then we have Washington, the house, yep. Of course. So it's kind of a mix. So as I continue to get these messages from people trying to connect the dots, the ones who are really showing interest, they have a ton of questions. I'm trying to utilize another thing of this whole COVID bubble we're in to hopefully kind of keep people engaged and kind of keep them interested while someone hopefully reaches back to them in a good amount of time.
Now, this would be a good place to step back and explain what Discord is, because I'm familiar with it because I'm a big fan of the Seattle Mariners, as disappointing as that sounds to many people. I'm familiar with Discord because I use it to chat with other Mariners fans during games. But briefly, what is Discord and how does it work?
So I'm fairly new to it. I pretty much only use it for the messaging servers, but it's pretty much, from my understanding, it's mostly like around gaming, online gaming. A lot of people meet up and you could talk to your friends and everything, and you could share screens and all that. So it's kind of like an interactive chat room. But the cool thing about it is you could create your own servers, and within those servers, you could create little sub chat rooms, and you could kind of get this like online digital library to where the way I have the Discord server is I have one section where it's just like a meet and greet. Then we have another section for helpful links, you know, the Sovereign Grand Lodge website, local Grand Lodges, different states. So I kind of utilize it like that. But I think the main avenue that people use it for is for like gaming, chatting and all that.
Yeah. For those, if you're familiar, any kind of a chat service, going back to the old days, AOL Instant Messenger or Yahoo Chat, or nowadays with Facebook Messenger, Discord is like that. There are different servers that are centered on certain topics. And what you have done is set up a server for either people interested in joining so they can stay in touch and stay engaged, or members who have just recently joined and aren't necessarily able to be active in their lodge, or their lodge isn't doing much right now. Which brings up another issue that we have definitely uncovered with the podcast. Not everybody belongs to a very active lodge. Some lodges out there are great. I'm going to brag about one of the lodges here in Washington, and that is Olympia Lodge number one. They were chartered in 1855. So they're a very, very old lodge for the West Coast. I mean, that's, I think, within 10 years of the first lodge in California being chartered. So it's an old lodge. It's been around a long time. They have a very big membership. It's about 130 members, and it's very, very active. Many subcommittees who are doing the business of the lodge, they have a lot of charitable activities that they do. Okay, so Olympia number one is one of the most popular lodges. People will drive from 40 or 50 miles away to participate in their lodge meetings because it's really active and engaging and fun. But we're finding that, especially with COVID right now and lodges that are not able to do a lot, there are many lodges where a lot of stuff doesn't happen. And, you know, sometimes we have young new members, they come in, they're excited, they want to do something, but either the lodge is not active or the members in the lodge are a little reluctant to let someone so new go ahead and do something. So we're definitely running into some of that. Now, Christopher, I understand you might have had a little bit of experience with that in the years that you've been a member.
Sure. I mean, to put it lightly, I certainly have. I think that you could sum it up in kind of a sweeping statement, though, in that if you're trying to do anything, I mean, this is not inclusive of Odd Fellowship by any stretch of the imagination, but if you are trying to do anything where there's a gigantic generational gap, just the way that we communicate can be incredibly different. So that in itself can be, you know, a huge barrier that people might run into, you know? You know, it's very different for someone that's 70 years old and someone that's 30 years old to have the same outlook on the world. And I'm not saying that that's, you know, good or bad, because everyone has something to offer. It can certainly prove to be a challenge at times.
And what about you, Sergio? I know you certainly wanted to do more in your local lodge, but they're not doing anything right now.
Yeah, right now, they're pretty much playing it safe. I'm coming from a smaller lodge, and besides me and the other brother who was just initiated around the same time, everybody else is pretty much, you know, mid to late 60s, 70s, and older. And not just that, but quite a few of our members live farther away. So right now, with traveling and everything, they just figure it's safer just to kind of keep the lodge closed in the meantime till things kind of balance out. unfortunately, where we're at, we're having flare-ups. So right now, there some places are already talking about things are starting to pick up. So that means stuff might shut down again. So.
And you're in Los Angeles proper. You're not like out in the suburbs in the San Gabriel Mountains or something.
No, this is Metro. Yeah, Metro Los Angeles. Yeah, so I'm in the heart of it.
Yeah, that's a very challenging place to be, especially right now, because I know I'm in Washington, and this was one of the first places that got hit with the pandemic. And it's actually, if you remember back to February, there was a particular care center in Washington. And I actually know a lot of people who work there because I have performed at that particular place many, many times in the past. So I got to see this kind of from the inside from the very beginning of it. And I understand a lot of the challenges that are going on in dealing with this and how we just have to bide our time and wait it out and make sure that we're keeping everyone as safe as we can. What kind of participation do you think you've been getting with the Discord server?
I actually think it got a pretty good reception than what I had originally thought. I had tried some variation of this. To come back to the Reddit, that was actually my first attempt to try to get people all into one group. And I guess Reddit's just not that popular amongst a lot of people. So that one didn't go anywhere for a while. But with Discord, I find that because you're able to divide the chat, the server, and you could, you know, this one's for links and this one's just for whatever you have, this one's for whatever questions in regards to a certain topic, it was more of an organized approach, and I found that people responded better to it. So we have our general chat room where pretty much everybody says hello, you know, checks in with each other, they ask their questions. We have the links that I put that I think might be helpful. And if I get somebody from a state that that's not already represented in the Discord chat room, I put the Grand Lodge information for that particular state. So that's had a lot of positive feedback because people are, you know, checking in every now and then. It wasn't kind of, they checked in once they joined and then they never bothered to sign back in or anything. It's actually consistent. People are still, you know, checking in to see what's going on. So that one's a really good result that I wasn't quite expecting. And with that, I think, well, I'll probably say that for Oddposh. So I'll say that for later.
Good. That's good radio because you're teasing something. You give people a reason to keep listening. So, moving ahead here, you mentioned Facebook earlier, and what kind of interaction have you had with Facebook and new members or listeners to the Oddcast? I know that our other wonderful Oddfellows podcast, Modern Goat Rider, they do really well with Facebook. They get a lot of interaction that way, and so I'm wondering what kind of things that you've seen monitoring either Facebook or, for that matter, Instagram, because we also have an Insta for the show.
So Ainsley is actually the one who runs the podcast Facebook. I do get some hits because I run the Facebook for my lodge, LA Golden Rule 35. So that one, I do get your run-of-the-mill, you know, what's Oddfellows, or is this Illuminati or something.
None of us are getting rich.
Trust me.
And there's no ancient mystical secrets here. If you're lucky, the Rebeccas will bring Jell-O with shredded carrots. That's what you know about Oddfellowship, everyone. That's the secret right there, Jell-O with shredded carrots.
So that pretty much sums up Facebook. As far as Instagram, I guess that's the most popular, and that's where I really get the most interaction, most pings, people reaching out to me. So with that one, it could be anything from people just right now. I'm talking to a tattoo artist who's just trying to find out what exactly is Oddfellows. So I'm trying to get that dialogue going because we do have quite a bit of tattoo artists who are Oddfellows. We get other people who are, like some people who are in rural parts of the state that they live in, and they're just trying to get a feel for it, trying to see what's out there, maybe see if there's something in their area. Then there's just other people just, you know, they just join the lodge, but their lodge is not active. So they just want to see what else is out there. So when I tell them Discord, naturally they want to see what's going on. And the people who've reached out, they've been really active as far as networking, getting to meet other Odd Fellows, not just within their state, but online as well. So that's been a positive positive thing. I think the COVID's probably the reason for that, but hopefully it stays around once everything balances out. But for the most part, it's pretty much up in the air. It's anything. It's people who are already members just trying to network, or it's people trying to get more information, people who are looking to join but need help to go to need to find their lodge. So it's all over the place. It's pretty interesting.
Now, since Ainsley's not here, I feel obligated to share what he would most likely say, which is, Oddfellows love tattoo artists. All of you out there who are doing tattoos, you should all be Oddfellows, because we've got cool symbols, we've got great artwork, and we are the fraternal order that takes all of the people who don't necessarily fit other places. And Chris, I know you've experienced that, because you told me once that you had inquired about joining another unnamed fraternal order, and they took one look at you and said, well, you don't exactly look like our kind of person.
I tell you what, it wasn't even that nice. yeah, and I mean, I'm not going to name any names, but they've got real nice stained glass windows. But yeah, I basically went to like an open lodge night. I didn't even get to the front door. Someone was standing outside and they took one look at me and just said, "We're not interested."
Oh, wow. Ouch.
Yeah. So damn. I said, all right.
Yeah, and that's when you went around the corner and there was the Oddfellows Hall, beautiful and gleaming in the sunshine.
Something like that, yeah.
And organized and beautiful.
Well, I had to use a bathroom somewhere and the other place wouldn't let me in. So the Oddfellows luckily let me in. The bathroom was clean, and you know what a sucker I am for a clean bathroom. And that was it. I was sold.
You know, we joke sold. About it, but having a clean bathroom in the Oddfellows Hall, we actually got a past grandmaster here in Washington to join precisely because of that. My good friend John Crispin, who's a past grandmaster here, he runs a nursery where he grows plants and trees and things like that. And every year during the Christmas season, he sells Christmas trees in a lot across the street from the Oddfellows Hall. So he's over there selling Christmas trees. He's got to use the bathroom. He says, oh, the hall is open. I'll go ask him. So he goes in. He says, hey, can I use the bathroom here? They're like, sure, go ahead. It's a nice, clean bathroom. And they said, hey, why don't you take an application? You look like an enterprising sort of fellow. And then he joined the lodge, and eventually he became Grand Master. So letting people use the bathroom and having it be nice and clean and sanitary, that can gain members right there.
It's one of the few things that I stick by in this life is if you're not cleaning your bathroom regularly, you're a bozo.
Yeah, absolutely. So another thing I would say on behalf of Ainsley, so many people are on Facebook nowadays. And Facebook has in some ways become kind of a surrogate town square national marketplace of ideas. And yeah, there's some things about that are not always enjoyable. But one thing is that since Facebook has become the virtual town square, you want to make sure that your Oddfellows Lodge has a presence on Facebook. Ainsley answers the emails for the Sovereign Grand Lodge. So when somebody emails and says, hey, I want to join, where's a lodge? If your lodge has an actual Facebook page, he can say, oh yeah, you're on Facebook. Go check out this lodge in this place. Go to Buckley Lodge 75's Facebook page, and you will see kind of the activities that they do. You'll get a little bit of a feel for the lodge, who they are, where they're at, what kind of stuff happens. And so he can refer potential members to that. And then those potential members look at it and go, oh, this looks like fun. This is an active, interesting lodge. I would like to be a part of this. And that's a really, really important aspect, because just like the days of pulling out a phone book to find out where the closest Sears is to go buy pants are over, you go on Amazon, you put in your size, you order your sweatpants, you know? People are not interacting in that old way hardly at all anymore. You know, we don't have phone books. We look stuff up on the web, even if we're going to go buy it in the store. I like to look at that skillet or that chainsaw or that lawnmower, get some information first from the web. You want to make sure that as a lodge, you can offer that to people who might want to join your lodge.
Oh, no, I was going to say we are a culture of instant gratification. So, like, we want an answer now. We don't want an answer in a year's time when you get around to writing back to us, you know?
Yeah, that's one of the things that I've noticed, too, is that sometimes if I respond, because I run the emails, I run the Facebook, I run the Instagram for my lodge, as well as the podcast. So everything's pretty much on my phone. So once I get emails or anything, I usually try to respond within like an hour, if not within a couple hours. And I do see that ethos in effect, to where people, if I respond fast enough, I have their attention. Boom. They send me another question right away. And then if I stay on the phone and I'm just going back and forth, it's like you said, that instant gratification where they wanted answers at that particular moment. And because I was able to respond at a certain amount of time, I kept their interest and they kept pursuing, and it was something that I gave them enough that they were able to think about. And then they still hit me up later on to say, hey, you know, do you guys do this or such and such? So that is pretty true. And it goes also with what Toby's saying, as far as, you know, everybody, you know, even if it's just a email, you know, as long as you check it regularly, you might not need the Facebook, but as long as you're like really on your email minimum, I think that'll at least help you out somewhat. But you definitely want to have some kind of presence. So there's Facebook, and then there's Instagram, and there's a couple of other things, but at bare minimum, an email and somebody who actually is able to keep tabs on it and not just check it, you know, like they're checking the P.O. box maybe once or twice a week or at that, if that.
Sure.
Yeah, and I think another thing that's really important to mention here, when someone reaches out to any of us, you know, as individuals, as lodges, as grand lodges, or as the Sovereign Grand Lodge, they have already taken an interest in Odd Fellowship. They want more information to be able to get involved with this. There's something they've found that's interesting or compelling. When we respond to them quickly, we let them know that they are important to us. And if we can create that impression of potential members being important to us right away, that gives us the inside track with them. It says, hey, Odd Fellowship cares about you. And one of the things I appreciate most about Odd Fellowship is that we really do care about each other. You know, when I hear about what's going on in another jurisdiction, in New Jersey, like the guys who are working so hard to charter a new lodge and they're working on a new encampment there, when I hear about those things, that's exciting to me, because it's meaningful. Odd Fellowship is very meaningful. You know, all three of us on this show here, we're all in very diverse and different places doing very different things. But Odd Fellowship brings us all together. It provides that meaning. And when we can get back to a prospective member right away, it starts them with the impression that they are important to us. And we want that. We want them to think, hey, this group thinks I'm important. They're emailing me back right away.
That does go a long way, because I know when I had originally sought out Odd Fellows, I didn't quite get that reaction right away. So that was definitely something that, you know, anybody else, they would have just moved on to the next one and saw what they could have got into. So that communication does definitely go a long way as far as replying and not just doing the one-off reply, but actually being engaged and trying to make sure that, you know, following up some of the people on Reddit, Facebook, or Instagram, you know, I'll talk to them. And if I don't hear anything in like a week or so, I'll probably send them a message. And if they message me back, then we'll talk. If not, then, you know, such is life. They probably have something busy and they're probably, you know, got caught up. So they know that whenever Oddfellows crosses their mind again, they can always send out a message and hopefully somebody will be able to respond to them quick enough.
Now, I think this is probably a good place for us to take a little break. We're going to hear from our wonderful sponsors, Pig and Pug Bath Stuff. If you're someone who likes to bathe occasionally, as I do, I highly recommend Pig and Pug because they make these wonderful bath products, soaps and bath bombs, all sorts of great stuff. It's all made right there in the Bitterroot Valley in western Montana. And Chris, you've actually seen the production process. You can probably vouch for its purity and wonderfulness.
I have. It smells fantastic. My life is just this. It is a jambalaya of all amazing bath scents. And I literally cannot recommend this stuff enough. And I do not have that much of a vested interest in it.
Well, that's great. So we're going to hear a commercial from them. And then when we come back, it's the shout out. And this one is going out not to a lodge, but a canton. So everybody stick around. We'll be right back. Ah, you can feel it in that late summer breeze. Autumn is just around the corner with its chilly mornings and cozy evenings. Why not give yourself the gift of beautiful scented bath products? Pig and a Pug Bath Stuff is introducing their new fall scents for 2020. The soothing, calming smells of autumn are now available in all your favorite soaps, scrubs, and other bath stuff. Made of the finest ingredients right in rugged Missoula, Montana, Pig and a Pug Bath Stuff gives you a little bit of luxury in your everyday cleansing routine. The time is never better to pamper yourself than right now, because they've generously extended their special offer to listeners of the Three Links Oddcast. Use the code THANKYOU24 at checkout. That's the words THANKYOU and the number 24 at checkout to receive 24% off your purchase. Once you've tried the smooth, wonderful bath stuff from Pig and a Pug, you'll want to indulge in a luxurious bath as often as possible. Remember, Pig and a Pug Bath Stuff. Look them up on Facebook and Etsy and use the code THANKYOU24 at checkout for a 24% discount. Happy bathing! And we are back. Thank you to Pig and Pug. Remember, they've got some wonderful, wonderful bath products. And this is really the time of year when bathing gets to be very enjoyable. It's cold out there. Get in some warm water, folks. Well, it's time for the shout out. Woohoo! This is the part of the show where we get to highlight a lodge and some of the great stuff that they're doing. This one comes to us again from the Keystone State of Pennsylvania. We got an email from Brother Justin Bailey, who's a past Grand Master and the current Grand Secretary of Pennsylvania. And he nominated Canton Northeast number 9 for the shout out. So we're going to give it to Canton Northeast number 9. He wrote a little bit about the Canton. He says, Northeast number 9 just chartered in late July in Honesdale, Pennsylvania, with 14 Chevaliers. There was never a canton here before, so this is brand new. Northeast is the name because it's in the northeast corner of Pennsylvania, and 9 because that's the Oddfellows district number that they represent. They're a very close district, and this gives them one night a month to get together, not only to learn about their canton, but to discuss strategies for their lodges. And let me just say, that is awesome. That is an excellent use of some of the upper division branches of Odd Fellowship to get members of different lodges together and do things like that. So he goes on here to say they're comprised of Freedom Lodge number 88 in Honesdale, Rush Lodge number 471 near Montrose, Tunkhannock Lodge number 699, and Kanawakta Lodge number 207 of New Milford. This gives Pennsylvania their eighth canton, which moves our Department Council of Pennsylvania up to a brigade again, which we haven't been for years. When I joined Canton Philadelphia number 1 in 2009, we were down to 5 cantons, 3 of them on the verge of closing. We're up to 8 cantons again, and all of them are meeting regularly, and we now have over 100 Chevaliers in Pennsylvania. Good job, Odd Fellows in Pennsylvania. Woohoo! Now, a little bit of background for some of the listeners who are going, Canton? What's a canton? Odd Fellowship is vertically integrated, which is if you join a lodge and you're really active and you want to do something more than just your local lodge, you can then go on and join an encampment. The encampment is the next level up above the lodge where we have time to do things like discussing symbolism and history and talking about some of the more esoteric aspects of Odd Fellowship. Lodges are usually busy with day-to-day business, the charity work, taking care of an old building, running programs, making sure there's ice cream for the pinochle game on Saturday night. So encampments give us the opportunity to really sort of reflect on what we're doing, do some education for newer members, you know, little different kinds of ritual. Well, above the encampment is the canton. The canton is part of the Patriarch's Militant, which is our uniformed branch in the Odd Fellows. Traditionally, you had to be an encampment member to join a canton. That's no longer the case. Any third degree Odd Fellow can now apply and join their local canton. Cantons are the local unit where Chevaliers and ladies get together and they meet and they have their canton meetings and do all of their patriarchal activities there. I belong to Canton Mount Si number 36 here in Washington, and it's an interesting experience. There's a certain amount of traditional 19th century military drill involved. We get to have swords, which is fun. You learn sword drills and things like that. You do the salute with the sword. If you are any kind of a Ren Fair person, cosplayer, if you like anachronistic things, you would make a perfect Chevalier in a canton because you get to do all that kind of fun, pretend old-fashioned stuff in the canton.
But it's a real sword. It's not made out of cardboard.
Yeah, it is a real sword.
Like an actual sword, yeah.
There are so many of these beautiful old engraved swords with the gilded hilt and the scabbard, and I mean, it's amazing, all of the engraving work on these swords. They're beautiful. They're absolutely beautiful swords. And so it's Canton is a really fun, exciting part of Odd Fellowship, and it's great to hear that it's going so well in Pennsylvania. So good job. And as a reminder, if you're sitting out there going, hey, I want them to talk about my lodge, well, hit us up. Send us an email. Tell us about your lodge or any other lodge around you that you think deserves some recognition, and we'll mention them in the shout-out. And Brother Sergio, how do they get a hold of us?
Well, the email's the same. It's the number 3linksodcast@gmail.com. That's the number 3linksodcast@gmail.com. You can hit us up with any questions, concerns. You want to nominate a shout-out. You want to find a lodge. You want to find an encampment. Anything, everything. You could just send us an email, and we'll try to get back to you as soon as we can.
Now, I'm glad you mentioned the emails because I've had the opportunity to answer a couple of emails. One of them was concerning religion in Odd Fellowship. Now, officially, we're a non-political and non-sectarian organization. So we don't endorse any political candidates, any political philosophies, any political ideals. And we don't endorse or support or incorporate any particular religious ideals. The only religious requirement is that as an odd fellow, you have to believe in some form of a supreme being. We don't judge what that is. That's all personal. That's for you. But our philosophy works because of the idea that there is some sort of a supreme being, a creator who has endowed each of us with the ability to care for one another. So that's where the origin of this idea of odd fellowship comes from. And one thing that we run into quite a bit, some of our friends in other fraternal orders may run into this more often, but a little bit of a conflict between organized religion and fraternal orders. This comes out of the tradition of the Catholic Church versus the Freemasons, because various reasons, I won't go into all the history, but they have been somewhat adversarial in the past, dating back to the Enlightenment era, going through the 18th and 19th centuries, and somewhat even into the 20th century. And so there's a certain amount of skepticism from organized religions that has rubbed off onto Odd Fellowship, just because we kind of look like other fraternal orders in some ways. So I got an email from somebody asking me about religion. If there's any kind of conflict, how religion fits into Odd Fellowship. And it really gave me an opportunity to sit down and write something sort of extensive. You know, we don't necessarily require the establishment of any particular religious philosophy here. However, since the vast majority of our members, at least here in North America, are all Christians, it tends to take on a very Christian flavor. A lot of our symbols and our traditions are rooted in the Old Testament, and that's basically something that's common to Christians, Jews, Muslims, anyone with roots in an Abrahamic faith. But given that so many people are just Christians, they go to their lodge meeting and they put "In Jesus' name we pray" at the end of every prayer. Now, we're really not supposed to do that, but since that's how so many people are used to praying, they tend to do that. And so I respond to this person. I said, as an organization, we don't have a particular view or feeling about religion, but as long as you respect some kind of supreme being, you will be just fine as an odd fellow. Now, there's some people, I know that there are certain lodges in California, for example, that would like to decrease the notion of having a supreme being and of having any sort of observance of divinity, which is interesting because on the one side, you've got those people who say, why do we need to have a benediction before a meal or before an installation of officers? On the other hand, you've got the people who look at Odd Fellowship and go, that's a secret society, you're riding goats and you're worshiping Satan. And what a wonderful time to mention one of our other wonderful Odd Fellows podcasts, Modern Goat Rider, produced by Josh and Billy.
I thought you were going to talk about the worshiping Satan podcast.
Yeah, that's right. For your Satan worshiping needs, please tune into Modern Goat Rider.
Yeah.
No. They do an excellent podcast as well. And all of you listeners to the Three Links podcast should be subscribed to that one too. But it's very interesting that we, on the one hand, we have to deal with this notion that people think we are a bunch of Satanists who are riding goats and slaughtering virgins and holding black masses and all kinds of stuff like that, which we all know actually happens at the Elks Club. Nah, just I said that for you, Sergio, because I know you're an L.
thank you.
But at the same time, you've got people in some lodges who are like, why do we even mention the word God ever in Odd Fellowship? We shouldn't do that. And so it's interesting to me because we have this sort of middle ground where everyone can come together. Myself, I know that I have sat in lodge with pagans and Wiccans, with Jews and Muslims. I'm a Lutheran. I have sat in lodge with Roman Catholics. Yes, it can happen. And let me just say, our casseroles are better, but I respect their right to however they want to make their tater tot casserole.
Didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, that's that was actually, if you read all of the 95 theses of Martin Luther, you'll find that somewhere around the late 60s was about whether or not to put cheese on a tater tot hot dish. So that's, it was a very important moment that led to the schism in Christianity. So there you go. It's a little religious history as well.
Okay, cool.
I'll look into that.
I know one correspondence that we got, you mentioned this earlier, Sergio, someone in a rural part of their state who wants to join a lodge. And I think you're referring to our friends in Durango, Colorado.
Correct.
Tell a little bit about what happened there for our listeners.
So pretty much we had somebody reach out from a rural part of Colorado, and they were really interested in Odd Fellows. They wanted to find out more, but where they're located, the closest lodge is like, I think he said like at least 2 hours away, and it was through one of the more dangerous roads in the country. So he wasn't, he was trying to get a little bit more information, trying to see if there was something closer. He also had just, you know, some general questions as far as what's Odd Fellowship. So since he was kind of in this rural, out-of-the-way place, he was able to reach out. He had the internet. We were able to answer his questions instead of him having to wait to hear back, because I believe he had contacted somebody, but he didn't get any kind of response. So we kind of had to help them out and get him an updated point of contact. And I believe that he did get a response. My brain's all over it, Toby. Maybe you remember if he did get a response. But pretty much...
I haven't heard if he's got a response yet. But to fill in a little bit more detail around that, there's no lodge in Durango. The lodge closed many years ago. But he's interested. His son is interested. And so that's getting pretty close to enough people where you could charter a lodge. And you referred him to Brother Doug Pittman, who's past Sovereign Grand Master, and is also serving as Grand Secretary of Colorado. And hopefully he's been able to make contact with the Grand Lodge there in Colorado, because Colorado is a very strong jurisdiction for Odd Fellowship. They have junior lodges. They have Theta Rho, Encampment, LEA, Canton, LAPM. They're very, very active in Colorado. They have a very strong jurisdiction. And I'm sure they would love to have two more really active and interested people to hopefully get a lodge going in Durango. Because if it so happens, let's say you're in the town of Soda Springs, Idaho, and you think, I want an Odd Fellows Lodge here. I want Odd Fellowship in my town. There may have been a lodge in Soda Springs at one time. And so you can contact the Grand Lodge of Idaho, which is just outside of Boise. And you can say, hey, Grand Lodge, I want an Odd Fellows Lodge here in Soda Springs. They can help you to get people together and charter a new lodge. So if you're someone who's listening to the podcast and you're saying, I'm in an isolated area, I would like to have a lodge here, and I don't have one, that's a possibility. Lodges can be chartered. And I'll give you an example. I got an email that you forwarded to me, Sergio, from a member who's in Wisconsin. I don't remember the Mauston, Wisconsin. Mauston. He's in Mauston, and he says, hey, I heard you talk on the podcast about an effort to start a lodge in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Can you get me in touch with this person? Well, on one of my Facebook Live concerts that I did, I got a comment from someone in Wisconsin who's trying to start a lodge there. So I looked her up and I said, hey, I've got someone in a neighboring town who wants to help out with your efforts in La Crosse. I was able to get those two people in touch so that hopefully, fingers crossed, they're working on getting a new lodge going in La Crosse, Wisconsin. It is possible to resurrect a lodge in a place that one hasn't been for a long time. And it takes a little bit of networking. We here at the Three Links Oddcast are willing to roll up our sleeves, and we're willing to jump in and help you get in touch with people who can help you. Because that's what we do. We are all about connecting people together here on the Three Links Oddcast and knitting this big family of odd fellows together.
Yeah, it's true. That's totally the whole reason we're doing this.
Yeah. Podcasting is fun, yes, but we also do this because we love Odd Fellowship. This is something that's really special to all of us, and we want to share it. We want to preserve it. We want to grow it. So we are out here. If you're listening to this, you're going, gosh, I need to belong to something meaningful. We can help you with that. Give us that email one more time, Sergio.
Alrighty. So that email again is the number 3linksoddcast@gmail.com. The number 3linksoddcast@gmail.com. Or you could also visit our website at 3linksoddcast.com.
Excellent. That was a great read, Sergio. You got to be careful. You might just end up with a second career in radio.
I'm hoping.
All right. Well, anything you guys have to add to this before we go to the Odd Podge?
Bring on the Odd Podge.
Yes.
I think I'm ready.
All right. Well, Brother Christopher, thank you so much for joining us from Covenant Lodge number 6 in Missoula, chartered in 1875. What would you like to share with us for the Odd Podge, brother?
So I'm actually going to go ahead and give two things here. Okay. So the reason that Ainsley isn't here is because he's doing that mural for the Douglas County Museum. And if you haven't looked at it yet, you should. I was quite blown away with how it's coming along. So fantastic job. Maybe you should quit the podcasting thing and stick with the art thing, because clearly, hey, you got it, kid. You got it. No, you shouldn't quit the podcasting thing. You should do that as well. But the other thing is, I know that you guys can't see this, but I am wearing my Metropolis 17 shirt, which is an Odd Fellows Lodge in Maryland. And our good friend Joey Long is a member of the lodge there. I believe he's Noble Grand, actually. And he is always making different merch to help fund projects and stuff for that lodge. So you guys should give him a holler and support his lodge so he can do some stuff.
I was just going to ask, does he have a Facebook page or Instagram? Or
let me give you his phone number. No. You can get him. He's always on Instagram. His name there is JoeyLong24. So you can go and bother him there.
All right.
Now, I'm guessing that since it's a lodge in Maryland and the number is 17, that's got to be almost 200 years old.
I think actually the 17 is a reference to the percentage of sales tax in the state.
No, that can't be possible.
I'll be here all night.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, brother. Come back, Ainsley. We need you.
Take my wife, for example. No, please, take her.
The great Henny Youngman. You know, here's a story about Henny Youngman. He was always hustling up work. All of those early performers who did the Yiddish vaudeville and things like that, they were always looking for work because they all came up very hard. They were very poor. Many of them were immigrants or children of immigrants. And so they really appreciated how wonderful it was to be able to make a living as a performer. I remember when I used to do that, for example. So Henny Youngman was really good at hustling up work. He was doing a show at the Waldorf Astoria in New York, and he's in the elevator. He's going up to the ballroom where he was going to do the show. He gets off on the wrong floor and walks into the banquet room thinking this is where he's performing, finds out it's actually a bar mitzvah. And he's like, oh, this isn't my show, but hey, I'm taking a break at 9:30. You want me to come down here and do a half hour set for your bar mitzvah in between my shows upstairs? And they took him up on the offer. So he managed to pick up an extra gig just by getting off the elevator on the wrong floor.
Hey, It, what was it that you said? The only bad advertising is if they spell your name wrong.
That's right. Actually, you know who said that originally? Lawrence Welk.
Yes, Lawrence Welk.
Lawrence Welk.
There you go.
Yeah, the only bad press is when they misspell your name.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
So, Sergio, what have you got for the Odd Podge?
So my Odd Podge, it would be communication. The big one. So Discord. Anybody, if you're interested, or if you're one of the more active members in your lodge, I would highly recommend looking up Discord. It could be something that lodges could utilize. You could create online servers for your committees. You could create online servers for just the general chat room for lodge members. Or if you're not an Odd Fellow and you're looking to get more information and you want a little bit more interaction, a little bit faster than emails or Instagram, if you're looking more for that instant gratification, you could definitely send us an email and then we could send you a link to our Discord server. And then the other thing is, if you're looking to join wherever you are, just send us an email. Right now, we're trying to get people in Durango, Colorado, for instance. We have some people in San Diego that are interested. Right here in LA, we're still looking for Odd Fellows. In addition, if you're trying to get any information on encampments, cantons, Amos, anything under this Odd Fellow sun, you could just send us an email, and that's the number 3linksoddcast@gmail.com, the number 3linksoddcast@gmail.com. If you have any questions, you want to find out a little bit more information, just send us the email, and then we'll get back to you.
Excellent. Wonderful. That is, I really appreciate all the time and effort you're putting into helping the channels of communication in this order. Having served as a Grand Master and knowing how information can flow quickly or slowly, I appreciate that you are working so hard to get people all connected up and talking together and sharing information.
Thank you. Thank you.
And for my Odd Podge, I'm going to put on my Sovereign Grand Musician hat here for a moment.
Nice.
Actually,
that reminds me of a joke, but no, go ahead.
This is actually not my Sovereign Grand Musician hat. I don't get a hat as Sovereign Grand Musician. This is actually my Muscovite fez because I do belong to the Noble Order of Muscovites. But speaking as your Sovereign Grand Musician, currently the project that I am working on now are audio recordings of our odes. Some of you may remember that 3 or 4 months ago, I did new sheet music arrangements of the odes, and people were very excited about that. And many people said, we don't have a pianist in our lodge anymore. Can you do a recording? So I'm working on those right now. Once all of the recordings are done and ready, what I'm going to do is send an email out to all of the grand secretaries to let them know. And then it should be available for download. And you can download the ode. So if you're in one of those lodges where you can't sing because you don't have a pianist, you can download it to your smartphone and play it right there on your phone, and your lodge can start singing the odes again. If I do nothing else as an Odd Fellow, but I manage to get people singing again, I'll be happy.
Hear, hear.
So that's it for this episode of the Three Links Oddcast. Brother Christopher, we really want to thank you for coming in and joining us for this episode. I hope you've enjoyed it.
The pleasure has been great and has been all mine, trust me.
And I'll put in a little plug for you. Any Odd Fellows traveling through Missoula, Montana, if you're headed east or west on I-90, be sure and swing in there and drop a line to Brother Chris. He would love to show you the lodge hall there in Missoula. He's built a wonderful historical museum of Odd Fellows items collected from all over Montana. It's absolutely beautiful. I've had the opportunity to see it a couple times. You can look at pictures of it on the Heart in Hand blog, at oddfellowsguide.com. So thank you very much for all of your efforts there in the jurisdiction of Montana, brother.
Thank you, sir.
And next up, we should have the cemetery episode. I know we've been teasing it now for 6 weeks, but I think the next one is when it's actually going to happen. So everyone stay tuned. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye, everybody.